Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude 24:25. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. He chose you. Addendum 1. The place of his throne and the place of the overcomer. Scriptures. The first scripture is from Mark 13, verses 14 to 23. But when ye shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that readeth understand. To let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them that is on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein, to take anything out of his house. And let him that is in the field not turn back again, for to take up his garment. But woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. And pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, for in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation, which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. And then, if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or Lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Isaiah 60, verses 1 to 5. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see. All they gather themselves together, they come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Zephaniah 1, verses 2 to 6. I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven, and the fishes of the sea, and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah, and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place, and the name of the cherubims with the priests, and them that worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and swear by the Lord, that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord, nor inquired for him. From Zephaniah 1, verses 14 to 18. The great day of the Lord is near. It hasteth greatly, even the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 5 to 7. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. End Scriptures. Visions. This first paragraph is for the vision that follows. For the following vision. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. And every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot. And they sparkled like the color of burnished brass, and they had the hands of a man under their wings and on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side, and they four also had a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go. They went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like the burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. That was from Ezekiel 1, verses 4 to 14. Vision. Then being brought near to the left side of the throne, I saw seated the Ancient of Days, and by his thigh was a great glory, even upon the seat itself. But under the seat of the throne, where God did sit, was a great glory as molten fire, splaying itself outward from under the throne, coming forth from between the feet of the Lord, out unto the realms of his heavenly kingdom. The fire splayed outward from the base of the throne, through his feet, encompassing the lower elements of the place of his glory, even the entire expanse of the Mount Zion in the midst of the New Jerusalem. The heavenly elements melted with a fervent heat, and the fire did encompass all things in a splay out then back, and folding back in upon itself. So then the fire did not just go forth in one direction, it also came back, folding in upon itself, with an even greater heat than before. As I looked up from this display of his glory, I saw two seraphim, one on the left side of the throne, and one on the right side of the throne, just as they appeared above the mercy seat, one on the left and one on the right. So then the seraphim angels on each side of the throne did spread out their wings over the head of God, before and behind, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." These seraphim did fill the place of the throne with God, and their presence in the whole of the heaven was filled over and over again with the glory of he that did sit upon the throne, even the Ancient of Days. End vision. The following is the second treatise on the series concerning knowing you were called and chosen of God to overcome and inherit all things. In this second in the series of He Chose You, the main elements of the walk of the maturing one in the Lord is examined as to the reality of this hour. It is not so much a question as to your self-worth, but an answer as to God in sovereignty. One of the main characteristics of the Lord in this hour is the fact that he seemingly gone silent in the hearing and motionless in the moving. For those going on to the deeper elements of their walk in salvation and victory, the presence of God has waned and the motion of his spirit has become still. This was prophesied some 3 or 4 years ago, and it is still valid. The reason for it was that the Lord desired faith to rise in his faithful ones so that they would walk in faith alone, thus pleasing the Lord. However, there is another element I would like to introduce here to you, the reader. It is this, that once faith has risen, and it is presently, there will be a move of God in the lives of the overcomers, which will not be mistaken or misunderstood for any other thing. The Lord is going to move in such a way that it will be absolutely sure and unmistakable. This move of his spirit in the life of the overcomer who was reduced to faith alone will signal the coming of Christ again in great glory, bearing the full power of resurrection life and raising us up with him into the same eternal victory and also in eternal bodies. In other words, this is the final act of God prior to the coming of Christ again to set up and establish his kingdom here on the earth over all the nations. This writing is sent to those who would overcome and be found with faith on the earth at the coming of Jesus. The world of Christendom does not understand that the coming of the Lord will spell great disaster for the systems of man that hold forth his truth in unrighteousness. All the systems of man will collapse, but the collapse will be felt greatest by those who are unrighteous in their hold of doctrine and of understanding. The coming of Christ, when he is glorified in the company of overcomers, will spell the end of all that has been done previous in world history. All of it will conclude very quickly at that point. All that man has built will collapse. The Lord's coming will be with great destruction, wrath, and fury upon all of man's systems that have forgotten Christ and his salvation. Now it seems that this is just a repeat of the things spoken in prophecy before, but it bears repeating again. These things are not to be taken lightly. The coming of Christ will spell great destruction in man's world, the end of all his systems, and the end of all his own iniquitous ways. For it is to an earth cleansed by fire that the kingdom of God will be established, and to this end shall his coming be. Christ will take unto himself this which he claims as his by right, because of the atonement made. At this present time, at this very moment, the presence of the Lord has waned, but it has done so with a very exact purpose, so that you can prove in your faith that you were called and chosen and faithful. This is the opportunity you have to know that you are indeed called to inherit richly in Father's kingdom all that pertains to ruling and reigning with him. Great glory comes to the Lord when one overcomes the lukewarm day we are in and rises in faith to be seated with him in heavenly places. Now on the earth, we are still sailing upon a tempest and storm. Our lives are perplexed on every side. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 to 11. The interesting thing to note is that the power of trials during the reduction of God's presence has actually grown and increased. The Lord is allowing great tribulation to touch the lives of the overcomers because they must know that they are presently under the judgment of the living God. This is a source of great comfort, for that means that time is very short indeed. The trials that are hitting the lives of they that would overcome can be anything from the smallest thing to huge, massive things. They can be things of great threat and oblivion to things which are rather insignificant and small, but yet they render such a trial. God is moving right now in the lives of they that overcome with no presence, no motion of spirit, and instead trials and testing and the pressures of this hour have increased many times over and over again. One would hope that they could sit upon their seat of rest, harp in hand, to sing the song of the Lord, but alas, they are in great tempest of trial, thinking that the years previous of great tribulation was enough. Now it is even more. But dear reader of these pages, this proves that you are called of God, chosen of God, and found faithful unto and into God. The proof of the overcomer is in the test. Now at this time, the Lord is permitting also great wars in the realm of the Spirit to increase against the overcomer. This increase of great war is manifesting in a certain way that is only known by a continual upward pull into the greater realms of discouragement and sorrowful tests and trials which break the human heart. The enemy floods in like a great storm upon the lives of they who would be found faithful in Christ and brandishes against them every weapon they have in intelligent warfare, all to make the lowly overcomer feel blamed for all the wrongs they have endured. With silent deft and craft, these minions of hell hide themselves in the carnal soul nature of the overcomer and cast up before them the words of condemnation, ridicule, and disqualification. Despondency, depression, and discouragement overwhelm the soul. The overcomer feels condemned for past failures and present areas where the will of God is not easily known. With great skilled war, the minions of hell hide themselves completely in the casting up of guilt, and with that comes great waves of sorrow that are untold in experience before. This is the present minute of this hour. This very thing I have described here are the very things that are happening to the lowly overcomer. The overcomer ends up knowing nothing and feeling that they are not part of God's army found in Joel chapter 2, because instead cast up in front of them are every little jot and tittle of failure and shortcoming that would make them think they are disqualified from service to Christ and from being lifted up with him to be seated in eternal victory with him upon the throne. Quickly losing sight of the Lord, they end up being completely beaten down by the daily trial of life and defeated by their many erroneous ways. But this is exactly the place the Lord would have the overcomer to be. Not that the enemy should triumph over them, but that they would identify with Christ as he breathed his last upon Calvary's tree. The last few breaths of Jesus became a revelation to the fallen powers that they had just been utterly destroyed by the death of Jesus, then later by the resurrection of Jesus. They had triumphed over the killing of the King of Kings, but their triumph ended when Jesus said, "It is finished." Right then they were utterly destroyed. The overcomer is in the same time frame of suffering. They too are expiring their last few breaths, and the enemy is realizing that they lost the war, for the power is destroyed, and all they can do is delude. The overcomer in the state of being identified with the cross is ending the power of the enemy in their own lives, so much so that later on they will bind the enemy and place him where he no longer has any footing, the bottomless pit, along with the minions of hell, so that great peace will be here during the reign of Christ Jesus in the earth. This is a future event, the binding of Satan, and they that overcome now will be part of that mighty company that places him in this pit for the length of the millennial reign of Christ. Backing up a bit in time to just after the death of the early church apostles and prophets, the Apostle Paul, in speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, stated in Acts 20:29 that grievous wolves would enter into the flock when he had departed, died. Once the early church fathers and leaders passed on, those that knew these truths were sorely persecuted by the governments of the day, causing many lives to perish. But the generations that came after fell away even further by the entrance of these wolves. All the minions of hell, led by Satan, had to do was to make the believer see their own carnal nature, then try to fix it with religious ambition. It was out of that the church entered centuries of dark ages, where truth was completely overtaken by the stifling precepts of religious ambition and the power of clergy over laity. Those who would be known as disciples of the Lord being lorded over by those who held false authority over them. This has come up into this hour with the masses of Christendom being totally away from the Lord and not known to the Lord, who claims that they know God when in fact they only know perdition. True overcoming believers are not in any of Christendom's systems, nor under control of any man. They are apart from it all, and they spend their days in this time mentioned above of quiet solitude while the tests increase and they are in the heat of trial. So it is for the overcomer now. They are in the sorest of trials. One would think that by this time testing would have waned somewhat and the trials would give way to mature rest and satisfaction in the knowledge of God. Rather, it seems that they have come even further down to the destruction of their carnality. But it is the destruction of carnality, for the carnal nature seems to be stronger than ever, raging its resistance to God all the more. Instead of lesser tests, there are more tests. Instead of less war, the wars are increased. Instead of the enemy being just a little subtle, all the stops are pulled and the overcomer is under full attack. Such is the present condition of the overcomer. They do not know or feel they are part of the Lord's call or his working, but the mystery of it is that they are. I would like to read again just those last few sentences. Rather, it seems that they have come even further down to the destruction of their carnality. But it is the destruction of carnality, for the carnal nature seems to be stronger than ever, raging its resistance to God all the more. Instead of lesser tests, there are more tests. Instead of less war, the wars are increased. Instead of the enemy being just a little subtle, all the stops are pulled, and the overcomer is under full attack. Such is the present condition of the overcomer. They do not know or feel they are part of the Lord's call or His working, but the mystery of it is that they are. How do you know if you are called as one who will rise on that last day as a first fruit unto God and the Lamb? Is it increased trials? Increased wars? The lack of His presence and motion? What is it that would make you know beyond any doubt that you are one who will rise with the man-child company to inherit the throne? I say it is not experiencing the increase of trial or the subtlety of the enemy's attack. It is not the lack of God's presence or motion. It is not the gamut of daily warfare that the overcomer faces. The one thing that makes one sure they will rule and reign with the Lord when He comes is the present discernment of the spirit of perdition in the world of man. Amazing as that sounds, it is truth. The final words of Jesus were very strange when you think of it. He told His disciples to be of good cheer, for He had overcome the world. He also told them that the prince of this world comes, but has nothing in Him. Yet after, Jesus declares that He is above the fallen world and the prince of the world, He goes to the cross. He went because He atoned for us, but He also destroyed the power of all the enemy spirits in the world of man and in the heavens themselves. He rose again later, justified as Savior, but triumphant King of Kings over all principality and power and the spirits of wickedness in high places. He confirmed His words of cheer in overcoming the world and of the prince of the world coming and not finding place in Jesus by the cross. The true overcomer sees his perdition and knows what it is. They know that there is one who imitates the Lord and who brags about being God, standing in the holy place as God, saying, "I am God," when in fact it is an evil imitation saying so. I say this to you in prophecy, reader of these pages. You are presently through your trials learning to see this perdition, to recognize it, and to destroy it out of your own life, first prior to the coming of Jesus, and then once He has come, you will destroy it off of all the nations of the earth by binding this enemy into the bottomless pit. That is how you know you are one of the first fruits unto God. You know His enemy, and you know the defeat of the enemy. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.